All right, get ready for a deep dive tailored just for you. Remember that YouTube video transcript you sent us? The one about Ozark native plants? The one by Eric Fillet for the Fayetteville Public Library and Wild One's Ozark
Oh,
chapter?
yeah, that one, yeah, I remember.
Well, we're diving into it, and let me tell you, his passion is just, wow, contagious. I was totally hooked from the beginning.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Like, there's this part where he talks about, get this, Ozark sauntering, like to really get a feel for these plants. Did that part jump out to you at all?
Oh, definitely. Ozark sauntering. Yeah, it's such a fitting term, you know.
Right.
It really speaks to that key point we often miss, you know, about taking the time to really observe, not just like rushing through.
Totally.
Fillet's enthusiasm, I'll say that, definitely makes this a deep dive worth taking, you know.
Okay, so before we get to the sauntering, let's define some things. The video mentions native plants a lot. What does that even mean? And why should someone like living in the Ozarks care about them?
That's a great, great question. It's something that a lot of people, you know, they hear the term native plants, but they're not really sure what it means. A native plant is a plant that was already growing in this region before European settlement. So, you know, think of it this way. The Ozarks, they have this unique environment, right? And these plants evolved with this environment over thousands and thousands of years. They are like the foundation. They're really the foundation of the entire ecosystem, right? They're supporting everything from insects to birds to, you know, all the other life.
So if those plants start to disappear, then like the whole system gets shaky.
Exactly. It starts to unravel. And that's why preserving these native plant communities is so important, right? It's about biodiversity. It's about keeping the Ozarks healthy, keeping it resilient, and even, you know, understanding our own heritage, right? Our own regional heritage. Fillet mentions the Arkansas Native Plant Society and their Wednesday wildflower walks. That seems like a really cool way to learn more, you know, connect with others who are also kind of passionate about this.
I was picturing like being able to walk through a field and spot a plant and be like, oh, that's such and such, and it's native to the Ozarks.
You've got
Like
it.
that kind of
You
thing.
got it. You'd be surprised how many people are out there excited to share their knowledge about these plants.
Totally.
Fillet's video actually covers a huge range of plant types. I mean, from spring ephemerals to ferns to those that thrive on, you know, bluffs. He even calls out specific examples of these really fascinating adaptations, which I'm sure you notice those,
Oh,
right?
yeah, the adaptations. I was like geeking out hard, like the sensitive briar closing up when touched.
Yeah, that's a classic example, right?
What is that about? Like, what's the evolutionary advantage of that? Is it defending itself from something, protecting itself from the elements? What's the deal?
It's a great question, and actually it's something that, you know, scientists are still studying. But some believe that it might be a defense mechanism against herbivores or even, you know, to conserve moisture. What's really interesting is that, you know, it just highlights the incredible diversity of survival strategies that plants have, right? And the sensitive briar is just one example, right? Just the tip of the iceberg.
Give me another one. What other cool adaptations are there?
Well, how about this one? The dwarf crested iris. It changes color based on the pH of the soil. Imagine that. It's like a natural pH indicator, you know, right in your garden.
I love that.
Or how about the passion flower, you know, with its like, you know, almost tropical looking blooms and its fruit. It's a real head turner. And then, you know, then there's the aptly named, you know, shooting star, which, well, its flowers look like shooting stars.
It does.
And
Like it's like nature has a sense of humor.
yeah, it does. It
Yeah.
does.
But are those adaptations, you know, just about beauty? Or are they, you know, are they serving a deeper purpose?
Well, often, you know, beauty and function are kind of, they're intertwined. The shooting star shape, for instance, might help attract specific pollinators. And even the walking fern, which, you know, literally walks, right, by rooting its fronds in new locations, it's not just, you know, a quirky thing. It's a way to like spread and colonize new areas, right?
That's wild. Okay, what about the Indian pipe?
Oh, yeah.
The one that Fillet mentions doesn't have chlorophyll. What is it surviving off of?
Exactly. So the Indian pipe is a fascinating example of parasitism, right? It actually draws nutrients from certain fungi that have a symbiotic relationship with trees. It's like this, you know, this botanical middleman getting its sustenance indirectly, it just, you know, highlights this, you know, this complex interconnectedness of the Ozark ecosystem, right?
So it's like a whole hidden world operating under the surface.
Exactly, exactly.
And speaking of hidden, there were a few plants in the video that Filet mentions are rare or endangered, right?
Right.
What's the story there?
Yeah, unfortunately, human activity has put a strain on some of these, you know, really, really special Ozark natives.
Yeah.
Filet talks about the Ozark chinkapin, which was once a dominant tree.
Wow.
But was decimated by the chestnut blight. And it's a reminder that even species that seem, you know, really abundant can be vulnerable.
Yeah. And what about those other rare ones, like the sharp-lobed hepatica, taper tip wild ginger,
right?
Palmer's hawthorn.
Yeah. They face a range of challenges from, you know, habitat loss to invasive species. But their rarity really emphasizes the need for careful conservation.
Yeah.
You know, think of it this way. If we lose these unique species, we lose a piece of the Ozarks' natural heritage. Mm-hmm. And we may never fully understand the role they play in this whole ecosystem. It's kind of scary to think about.
It is a little bit. But you know what? Let's pause here for now, and we'll pick this back up in part 2.
That's good.
We'll talk about more about these fascinating plants and what we can do to help protect them.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Okay, welcome back to our deep dive on Ozark native plants. Man, I'm still thinking about all that variety and like how clever these plants are. But we learned in part 1 that some of them are really struggling. What really stuck with you about those conservation concerns?
You know what really hit me? It was when Filet connected the decline of certain plants, like the Ozark chinkapin,
right,
to the bigger picture, like the whole ecosystem.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a stark reminder that losing just one species can have these like ripple effects, you know?
Right. And you mentioned that like Ozark glades are particularly vulnerable. Something about fire suppression and overgrazing.
Exactly. So Ozark glades are these, you know, unique environments, right? Mm-hmm. They're sunny and they really depend on periodic fires.
And grazing to keep them open. But when we suppress fires and introduce like non-native grazing animals, It just throws everything off balance.
Wow.
Cedar trees, they take over, right? They block all the sunlight that those glade plants need.
Right.
And then the whole ecosystem shifts.
So it's like we accidentally mess things up.
Yeah, a little bit.
It makes you wonder, is there anything we can do like to help fix that?
There is definitely hope. Organizations like the Arkansas Native Plant Society,
right,
they're working on these habitat restoration projects. And, you know, even individuals can make a difference. Even just simple things like choosing native plants for our gardens can create like these little pockets of habitat for pollinators and beneficial insects and things like that.
So ditch the fancy exotics, go native.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it.
I like it. And education, that's huge too, right? Mm-hmm. The more we learn about native plants, the better equipped we are to make informed choices. And Filet's video is a great, you know, a great starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And all the resources he mentions, you know, the Arkansas Native Plant Society website, field guides, those are invaluable tools for anyone who wants to kind of delve deeper into this world.
Speaking of learning, those Wednesday wildflower walks, that sounds like such a fun way to get like hands-on experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. You get to see these plants in their natural habitat.
Yeah.
You know, learn from experts, connect with other plant enthusiasts. Plus, you get some exercise and fresh air. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, count me in. But what about those of us who like don't have green thumbs, you know?
Right.
Or can't attend a walk. Are there other ways that we can, you know, support native plant conservation?
You know, there are supporting organizations like the ones we've mentioned, the Arkansas Native Plant Society, the Chinkapin Foundation.
Yeah.
These are groups doing really amazing work in terms of research, education, advocacy, and even just spreading the word. You know, just talking to friends and family about native plants, it can have a ripple effect.
It's like a grassroots movement, like empower people to become plant advocates.
Exactly.
And, you know, even when we're out enjoying nature, just being mindful of our impact, right?
Right.
Staying on trails, not trampling vegetation.
Absolutely. It's all about respect. Respect for the plants, the ecosystems, you know, and that respect, I think it comes from understanding. That's why I think these deep dives are so valuable.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's, you know, opening our eyes to a world we might have taken for granted.
You know what? When you first said Ozark sauntering, I wasn't sure what you meant.
Yeah.
But now I see it as a like as a whole new way to like see nature.
Yeah.
You know? Slow down, observe, really appreciate those details.
Yeah, that's the heart of it. And once you start noticing those details, it's just amazing, you know. The diversity, the resilience, it's all there.
It's like Fillet says, every plant has a story to tell.
It does.
And we need to listen. Speaking of stories, there were so many fascinating plants mentioned in the video.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, are there any that stand out to you
Oh, so many of them.
that we haven't talked about? Like ones that represent those different like habitats that Fillet talks about?
Oh yeah, there are tons. Let's start with the spring ephemerals, right?
Okay.
Those are the early bloomers.
Right.
Yeah, they take advantage of the sunlight before the trees, you know,
Yeah.
leaf out.
Okay.
Fillet mentions the dwarf crested iris, which we already talked about,
Right.
but also the delicate rue anemone,
Right.
the cutleaf toothwort with its unique foliage,
Yeah.
and the white trout lily with its kind of like elegant mottled leaves.
It's like there's like the symphony, like a botanical symphony almost, that
Yeah.
only lasts for a short time
It is.
before everything like closes in.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. And then, you know, and then come the ferns and their allies, right? Like
Okay.
the walking fern
Oh yeah, the
and the
fern.
rattlesnake fern. You know, they always kind of seem a little bit mysterious to me.
They do, yeah. Like I'm not as familiar with the ferns.
They're unique. Fillet even describes, you know, the juniper moss as looking like tiny trees,
Oh wow.
highlighting, you know, how much diversity there is, even within that group, right?
Yeah, right.
And we can't forget, you know, the more common ferns, like the graceful southern lady fern or the Christmas fern,
Okay.
which, you know, even provides a little touch of green in the winter.
It's a reminder that beauty comes in all like forms and sizes and seasons.
It does. It
What
does.
about those plants that love those like sunny open areas,
Right.
like the fields and the prairies and the
Oh,
glades?
well, there's the iconic big blue stem. You know, it's a grass with this distinctive seed head. It looks kind of like a turkey's foot.
Really?
Yeah. And we can't forget the sensitive briar. Always,
Yeah.
always ready to entertain with its touch sensitive leaves.
I'm picturing a whole field of them just waiting to be tickled.
Yeah. It's fun to think about.
But seriously, Fillet also mentions that the Palmer's hawthorn, it's a rare species and it's found in those open areas.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that, you know, protecting those areas is so important for protecting those unique plants.
Exactly. And then there's the purple passion flower, which is, you know, it's a real showstopper.
Yeah.
Those intricate blooms and the edible fruit. It's a perfect example of how beauty and function, you know, can coexist.
Okay, let's head to the shade now. Let's go to the forest.
Okay.
What treasures are we gonna find there?
The Ozark forests, they're just full of wonders. Fillet highlights the shooting star, you know,
Yeah.
appropriately named, the elegant Ozark trillium, and the taper tip wild ginger,
Okay.
which relies on ants for pollination. Can you believe that?
Ants. Wow. That's wild. It seems like every plant has this unique relationship with the or like with the environment around it.
It does, it does.
Yeah.
It's a constant reminder of this, you know, intricate web of life. And sadly, you know, one of those threads has been broken with the loss of the Ozark chinkapin.
Yeah.
It's a powerful reminder of the importance of conservation
It
efforts.
is. It is. It's heartbreaking, but you know, let's focus on what we can protect.
Yes.
What about those plants that are like clinging to the bluffs? You know, and the
Oh yeah,
cliffs.
those are some tough plants.
Yeah.
Slay mentions the yellow honeysuckle
Oh.
cascading, you know, over those rocky outcrops with its bright blooms and the wild hydrangea with its showy flower clusters.
Yeah.
Even the delicate columbine finds a way to thrive in those kind of, like, you know, harsh conditions.
It's a testament to their resilience, right?
It is.
Adapting to those tough environments. I'm also kind of curious about the plants that are near water, like near the streams and the
Oh
bottomlands.
yeah.
What are some highlights from the video about those
Well,
plants?
there's the jewelweed, which is, yeah, just a marvel of adaptation,
Hmm.
with its water repellent leaves and those exploding seed pods,
Right.
and the cardinal flower, you know, with those bright red blooms. it attracts hummingbirds and just adds a splash of color to those, you know, to those stream banks and those wet meadows.
It's like every corner of the Ozarks has its own unique plant community.
It does.
But you know, we've been focusing a lot on the flowering plants, the ones that you know we can see easily with their bright colors and their blooms.
Right.
What about the other plants?
Right.
The ones that maybe aren't as showy, but are just as important.
You're absolutely right. You know, the grasses, the sedges, the rushes, the trees, the shrubs, all those other non-flowering plants, they're really the unsung heroes of the plant world.
Mm-hmm.
They provide food and shelter for wildlife. They prevent erosion. They filter water. They contribute to the overall health of the ecosystem.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that every plant, even the ones that seem, you know, insignificant, have a role to play.
They do.
And with that in mind, let's take a break and we'll come back for part three.
Okay.
And we'll talk even more about the importance of these native plants and what we can all do to help ensure their future. Hmm. Welcome back to our Ozark Native Plant Deep Dive. We've explored so much already, those delicate spring ephemerals, those tough bluffed dwellers. And we've talked about the problems they're facing, but I'm kind of wondering, you know, before you wrap things up, like why does this all matter so much? Like, why should I, as just like a regular person, you know, care about whether a plant is native or not?
That's a really great question. Mm. And, you know, it really goes beyond just, you know, appreciating pretty flowers.
Okay.
Native plants, they're the backbone of these ecosystems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've evolved over thousands of years with the local insects and the birds and the animals, the fungi, even the microorganisms in the soil.
Oh, yeah.
It's this finely tuned system where every piece plays this really crucial role.
So if you replace like a native plant with a non-native one, even if it looks pretty, you're kind of messing things up.
Exactly. It's like taking a recipe that's been, you know, perfected over generations and just throwing in a new ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might not be like a total disaster,
right?
But it could change the flavor, it could change the texture,
right?
It could even change like the nutritional value.
Wow, that's a really good analogy.
And invasive species,
right?
Those non-natives that spread so aggressively,
mm.
they're really problematic.
Yeah,
because they can outcompete native plants for resources.
Right.
They disrupt all those, you know, delicate relationships that we've been talking about.
Hmm.
And they can even like change the soil.
Wow. And with climate change happening, it's kind of putting more stress on these ecosystems, right?
Yeah.
Are native plants better at handling all of that?
They are.
Yeah.
Because they're inherently adapted to the local climate.
Right.
To the droughts, the floods,
mm-hmm.
the temperature swings.
Yeah.
They've weathered those storms, you know, for millennia. They're more resilient. They often, you know, require less water, less maintenance.
Okay.
And they provide kind of like a natural buffer against those climate impacts.
So they're like the original climate heroes of the Ozarks.
Yeah, you could say that.
This is making me think about that Ozark sauntering thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not just about, you know, identifying plants. It's about understanding how they all fit together.
Yeah, exactly. When we slow down and really observe,
mm.
you know, we start to see those connections, those webs of interdependence
mm.
that make these ecosystems thrive.
Mm.
And that understanding, I think, is what inspires us to protect them.
Okay, so we're inspired. What can we do? Like, what can we actually do to support these native plants?
There are so many ways to get involved. We talked about choosing native plants for our gardens.
Right.
Supporting, you know, organizations like the Arkansas Native Plant Society.
Mm-hmm.
Participating in those Wednesday wildflower walks.
Yeah.
But even small, even everyday actions can make a difference.
Okay, give me some examples.
So think about reducing or even eliminating pesticide use in your yard.
Okay.
You know, those chemicals, they harm beneficial insects that rely on those native plants.
Right.
Compost your yard waste.
Okay.
Instead of bagging it, mm. you're enriching the soil and you're reducing landfill waste.
Okay.
And even just learning to identify some common native plants in your area.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge step.
It's like Philae said, knowledge is power.
It is.
The more we know, the more we can, you know, appreciate and protect these amazing plants. And I have to say, I started this deep dive with a really vague sense of like, oh, native plants are good. But now I'm like, I'm looking at my yard, I'm looking at my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Even when I'm hiking in the Ozarks with this whole new perspective.
That's the magic of learning, isn't it? It opens our eyes to these wonders that are right in front of us, right?
Right.
The connections that we might have missed before. And it empowers us to become better stewards, you know,
yeah,
of our environment.
So it's not just about plants.
Yeah.
It's about understanding our role, like, in this whole thing, and taking those simple steps to help it thrive.
Absolutely. And it's about sharing that knowledge,
yeah,
right? And that passion with others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you'll inspire someone else to start their own native plant journey, right?
Yeah.
To start Ozark sauntering.
I love that.
And to discover this incredible world that's right outside their door.
What a great thought to end on.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Happy exploring.